Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Progressive Britain podcast. This is the weekly extra show where we discuss whatever big topics have been on our mind this week, but in a bite-sized chunk. I'm Connor Pope and I'm joined by my colleague, Progress Deputy Director, Stephanie Lloyd. Let's start with a confession. On Tuesday's show, Alison McGovern said that the attempt by Tory MPs to get rid of Theresa May was over, had run out of steam, was dead. It was an ex-plot. I suggested that she was invoking Sod's Law by saying that.
You did panic somewhat.
And that the likelihood was now that May would be out on her backside by the time the episode went out, making us look hopelessly out of date. Mea culpa.
Still there.
She's still there. And in fact, it looks like she's going to be in place for quite a while at least. What went wrong with the plot, do you think?
Well, apparently they couldn't count to 48. Which, you know, even for the brightest, it's not that tricky. I mean, they absolutely kind of, you know, bolted before the... I've forgotten the expression. It was going to be a rubbish expression anyway, but it's fine. But no, they clearly kind of, you know, they bolted. But what is the expression?
I think the one you're looking for is bolting the door after the... No, yeah, bolting the door after the horse has left, something like that.
Sure. Anyway,
closing the stable door.
This is what you come to this podcast for, expressions that no one can remember. But no, anyway, so they clearly got overly excited before they had any actual ability to know that 48 people would follow them. But I think one of the biggest things is I think that they absolutely underestimated the importance that loyalty is to Tory party members and MPs. You know, it's one of those things that they hold so dearly as part of their like DNA of their politics in terms of that loyalty. So if they were going to topple her, there really had to be a good reason to be able to do that. And I think people are still in the situation where they think that they will be able to get her to move on the deal before they make her leave. But also we've seen Labour ahead in the polls by more than I think they've been for the last couple of years, for sure. We've seen some 7 or 8 points ahead. They're not going to want to risk the destabilisation that toppling her would cause. They don't want to risk another general election. They know that the timings of when they would do another leadership contest, there's no obvious winner. So you would, I mean, it could literally be months before they were to get a new leader in terms of the way the Tory system works, of how every Tuesday and every Thursday they'd have to go to those votes until it's whittled down to two. But there could quite easily be 14 of them that would put their name forward. So, I mean, that's a lengthy period in and of itself. I just think with the clock ticking, it's not really in their DNA to do that in a lot of ways. And with no obvious person to kind of come through, I just don't think that I think far too many of them at the end of the day went, there might come a time where this is important, but the time wasn't then.
There was an interesting article by William Hague in The Telegraph on Tuesday, actually, where, you know, basically he made the argument against changing the leader and went through what the kind of the logic tree, which Tories seem to love the idea of logic trees and use it to make all of their political decisions. But he set out his logic tree.
So they privatise the forests, but they love a logic tree. Sure.
And he came to the conclusion that a likelihood of changing the leader at this point would be that you would end up with Jeremy Corbyn as Prime Minister and a second referendum happening, which I thought was interesting. And I imagine had got a bit of sway in the party in the days before that. What I thought was really interesting about this whole attempted coup was that it showed how little influence Jacob Rees-Mogg has within the Tory parliamentarians, because he is seen as such an influential senior Tory MP, and that's why he gets all of this media coverage, or certainly that's what used to justify the media coverage. But in fact, he did the really big intervention late last week saying that he was putting his letter in. He said that in the House of Commons. And once that had happened, you kind of expected to see a lot of others follow. And it just didn't happen. And it just then you kind of come to the conclusion that he's not really a senior influential Tory MP. He's just a media rent-a-gob.
And just,
but he's posh.
Exactly. Right? He's so divisive. He has, you know, the most ludicrous suits I've ever seen in my life. But I think that's the thing. It was just, I think he really believed his own hype in a lot of ways in terms of like the media circus that surrounds him. But actually, at the end of the day, I mean, there were a good number of Tories who have literally gone on the record to be like, we would not be in this party if that man was the leader. Mm. Like, I just think, you know, he certainly had no ability to kind of bring other people with him, which at least, you know, might mean that he won't be prime minister, which means we can all breathe a sigh of relief, because that was worrying at one point.
But as well as the Tory rebels having terrible planning, the leadership still seems to be stuck in that position as well. Government plans have been revealed this week to, in order to get its withdrawal agreement through Parliament, their plan is that after it gets voted down initially in Parliament, the Tory leadership genuinely hopes that the ensuing market panic tanks the pound and spooks Conservative backbenchers into backing the deal at the second time of asking. So the government's own plan is to crash the economy. It seems utterly remarkable.
It is remarkable. Oh, it's disgusting. And it shows just how awful they are at politics now in this sense. They have no, like, Theresa May's team has no ability to build consensus. And that's the bit where I was like, you know, there's a level of resilience that is just remarkable to see and watch. And obviously today she did, so we're doing this Thursday, she did her statement, which again was just another total piece of political theatre. Like, there was nothing new in that. She's added some more pages of, you know, wonderful fantasy, and wouldn't it be nice if we had this? But there's no meaning to any of it. There's no substance to any of it. And it just shows, I think, you know, it just really shows how poor the political debate is in this country, that the best way that she can think of bringing people with her is tanking the economy and really damaging the people of this country and making everybody poorer, because she has no ability to negotiate. Like, how is this the situation that we've got ourselves into politically? It's just ludicrous. And I kind of, there's a part of me that just kind of wants to walk around and like sit them all in a room and just tell them off and be like, can you please all just behave and grow up a bit? But it is terrifying. And it is that point where I think it's going, like, they're just looking for whatever can break the deadlock.
I think this actually,
it could do it though.
Now I think about it, this is a kind of like clearly an extension of their logic trees, isn't it? They sit down and they go, what will be the result of this option? What will be the result of this option? And so someone has to sit around the table and go, so if our plan goes well, the economy crashes for a bit.
Mm.
Like, that is bizarre. Like, why would you ever...
Strong and stable. But also, strong and stable with the economy. Strong.
Also, the fact that this has now got out, it was in the Sunday Times over the weekend. Robert Paston from ITV also reported it later in the week. The fact that we know about this now kind of seems to surely ruin a lot of the positives that would have... The idea that you get positives out of it anyway, but ruin that, because this is literally what they want to happen. And it's this kind of thing that I think does... The Guardian has been doing a lot of work about populism this week and covering what that is and how it comes about. I think a lot of it comes about because there is a belief which is spurred on by populist politicians who say that when things are not going well, it's not just because someone has made a mistake, that something bad has happened along the way. It's the belief that somewhere, someone is working behind the scenes to ensure that you can't do better, to ensure that you become worse off. And that is literally their modus operandi. And so when the government is revealed to have secret plans that literally will make us all poorer, then that kind of feeling is clearly going to get stronger, because that just reinforces that belief, doesn't it? I think this is a really dangerous route to be going down.
That's the thing. The whole thing is so dangerous, because it just shows the institution of Parliament's inability to work towards something for the good of the country. And this is the problem when currently all you've got is awful political judgment, no leadership whatsoever, and no clear majority for anything of what's going to go through. And I think that's why over the next couple of weeks, this is going to be absolutely fascinating to watch. And some of us get to watch it slightly more closer than others, in the sense that, you know, it's our jobs to know what this is. But the minutiae of some of these things, in terms of like when the votes are put down, what order the amendments are going to go in, you know, where that, how that shifts the parliamentary arithmetic to at some point, because at some point they will have to make a decision. They cannot at some point just not make any decision. They have to reach some form of consensus. And that's obviously, you know, the government's plans are clearly then to make everybody poorer and scare the living daylights out of everyone to force their deal through. Obviously, there's lots of others and, you know, people that we're supporting in terms of trying to get a people's vote and take this back to the country to be able to ensure that they have the final say on this absolute chaos. But there's got to be something that breaks that deadlock. And it's going to be one of the, it's going to be one of those things that's like the tiniest little thing that seems so insignificant at the time is actually what's going to swing it one way or another for someone. But it's going to be absolutely fascinating to watch in that sense.
We are planning to change the way that we cover a lot of this stuff over the next couple of months. We've got some big changes to our podcast output planned.
Before we talk about the new podcast stuff, is really exciting, can we talk about my other favourite news story of the week?
Yeah, sure.
Which is that my football team made the news. It's literally gone everywhere.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, I play along with Alison McGovern, our wonderful chair and normal host of this podcast, on the women's parliamentary football team. And on Tuesday, we were meant to have our first game against Crawley Old Girls. But votes were meant to go on late in the evening, so we had to cancel it. And they ended up, because the government accepted all of the amendments, another truly remarkable moment, they ended up kind of not having to vote, but instead had what basically became a bit of a kickabout in the chamber and some very wonderfully artsy photos, which are fabulous, of our wonderful parliamentarians in the kit, playing about, and Hannah Bardell particularly doing keepy uppies in the chamber, which infuriated the speaker. And they got solidly told off the next day in the chamber. But it's gone everywhere. Literally, like Hannah was on BBC Breakfast this morning talking about it. It's in the Times. It's been in everything. It's gone, it's somewhat spiraled, which is quite funny.
I know, it's been in basically every single paper that I've picked up this week, it feels like. And we'll make sure that some links to those news stories or underneath.
It's some great keepy uppy skills.
I love the kits as well. I think they're a great shade of green.
I'm not sure. Yeah, no, it's wonderful. And to be honest, like, I mean, this is the first women's parliamentary team there's ever been, because they were banned from playing on the men's team. And to be fair, it was in-house communications that have really like helped us out and get that off the ground with the Chelsea Foundation. So it's really good fun. And anyone that's interested, do get in touch. But right, let's talk. I totally interrupted talking about the new podcast.
You've got to let us know when the next match will be rescheduled for, so that myself and other Progressive Britain listeners can come and form a ultras behind the opposition goal. I was saying we were looking at making big changes to the podcast output over the next couple of months.
This is exciting.
So we're really looking to hear some listeners' thoughts about what they would like to see.
You had
changed.
A lovely review recently, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a great recent review titled Dull. iTunes user Logan_9 described the podcast as very dull. #dull. So if you want to make any similar contributions, please do leave your own review on iTunes. What would you like to see more of on Progressive Britain podcasts? And we'll try and incorporate that into the plans that we have. Pub quiz question on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I asked why November 20th was an important date in the history of the Tory leadership. Steph, do you know the answer?
I do know this one. So in 1990 was when Michael Heseltine challenged Margaret Thatcher, and the 20th November was actually the date of the election, but she didn't win the first round and therefore was persuaded to withdraw from the second. So she actually handed her resignation in on the 22nd of November. But yeah, pretty big day in Tory party politics.
Top knowledge. Well done. Alistair Harding also wrote in, he got that question right. So congratulations to him. He always gets them right.
No more mugs.
If we ever do
it. We're literally supplying his whole house.
If we ever get round to doing a pub quiz, I want to be on Alistair's team. We'll be back with a new episode on Tuesday. We're going to be talking about extremism and radicalisation online. If you've got any questions on that, do drop us a line. Thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to the Progressive Britain podcast. The music is When in the West by Blue Dot Sessions, licensed under Creative Commons. And this episode was produced by Carolyn Crampton.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky smooth tree runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree dasher, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds travel shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of tree dashers, runners, pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.